Morning, everyone. Great to be with you all again, and looking forward to our time together in God's Word, and just once again putting our hearts before Him as we've been worshiping the Lord, and long to also hear from the Lord through His Word. And so I trust once again, as always, that the Lord will be about His purpose, guiding and directing this morning as we open the Word. For those who like to follow along, we're going to be spending a little bit of time picking up where we left off in both John chapter 6 and Mark chapter 6. And so if you'd like to stick a finger or a thumb or a toe in one of those pages, then you will be right there when we get there, and we'll read together. I'm going to just once again open in a word of prayer, and then we're going to dive in as we look back to where we've been and then look ahead to where we're going this morning in God's Word. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that again we can come before You this morning, that we can hear from You, that we worship a God, again, a God not made by human hands or human thoughts, a God who lives, a God who is alive and well, active, a God who tells us Your Word is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide bone and marrow, spirit and soul, able to show the intentions of one's hearts. And I just pray this morning that as we open this Word, once again, it will only be with the confidence that You will speak, that You will guide, that You will direct, that You will shape, that You will mold, that You will use this time to bring us into that clear understanding, not of what we want to think or believe, but what is true, what is worthy of our faith, what is right, and what is righteous in Your eyes. And I just pray again this morning that only Your words would stick to our hearts, and that this morning we would hear those things and we would be challenged again, as we have been already, not only to know You, but to be able to apply what it means to walk in You. And I thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, for those who were with us last week, it was Mother's Day, and we actually, as we've been looking briefly at some of the storyline about Jesus' interactions with the people and the disciples, we interrupted that storyline in the feeding of the 5,000 to talk about the ministry of interruptions. And so, for those who are with us, you'll remember that often my inconvenience is God's great opportunity, if I would allow it. And I need to prioritize, not often what I think, what I'm doing, or where I'm going, but where God is directing. And we had left off with some questions after having sung All for Jesus, and we sang these words: all my ambitions, hopes, and plans I surrender into Your hands. And we asked the question, are we ready to do that? Live that way, surrendering all my ambitions, hopes, and plans into the Lord's hands. And we're going to continue on from there, having been looking at the fact that as we read in John 6 and Mark 6 about the feeding of the 5,000, and that God is often allowing us to be tested. He's going to provide opportunities to confirm that we truly know those things that we've been taught. And time and again, He's going to allow that. And as we look at Mark chapter 6, it showed that the disciples knew experientially that God was a great provider. He sent them out without an extra cloak. He sent them out without a money bag. He sent them out without extra shoes, without clothes, without reservations. He sent them out, and He provided. He cared. He looked after. And yet, as we've seen, the moment the circumstances changed, as they came off that journey, they went to a secluded place, and there, Jesus turned and said, you feed the people. Jesus was testing them, it tells us in Mark 6. Why? Because He wanted to see if they had truly understood what they had already been taught. Could they apply what they already had experientially learned? The answer was no. They missed it. And in fact, if you remember, we left off having looked at that miracle of the dividing of the loaves and the fish, that afterwards, those disciples who were prepared to send the people away each stared at a basket full after Jesus had provided and it said all were satisfied. Well, just as Jesus had taken them away to a desolate place only to find them tested amongst the people with them, John 6 is actually going to continue that very day, that very moment, as soon as they collected, stared at those baskets, having watched and looked and seen the miracle of Jesus, that he was able to provide, take almost nothing and make it miraculously, not just into something, but into a sustaining fulfillment for the people. Listen to what happens next. John 6 and verse 13. They gathered them up. They filled the 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, when the people saw the sign, remember the attesting miracle which he had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, and after getting into a boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. It had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. And then, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, drawing near to the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." So they were willing to receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. It then goes on and tells us this: the next day, the crowd that stood on the other side of the sea saw there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples. It says that his disciples had gone away alone. There came other small boats from Tiberias near the place where they had ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor the disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Here's what's important this morning. Listen to Jesus' response. Jesus answered them and said, and remember, this is the morning after the great miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 from those 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus says, John 6, verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal." Therefore they said to him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he," God the Father, "has sent." Verse 30, they said to him, "What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" Now, as we read these familiar passages to many of us here, note that after having eaten, and once again, how often do we look at the fact that we can forget so quickly both who God is and what God does? They had just eaten. It is one night past. And now when Jesus says, "Listen, if you want to work the works of God, here it is. Believe in the one whom he sent." Their next question is, "What will you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What are you going to perform?" And remember that word that's only in the Gospel of John, attesting miracle. What attesting miracle are you going to do for us today, Jesus, so that we might believe? What's the problem? He had just done it yesterday. And already today, they're asking for another. He's already proven himself. And yet, in their own hardness of heart, they want him, what? To prove it again. It wasn't enough. I want to see more. Well, as you look at what Jesus says to them, this is the work of God, believe in him. And as we've looked at many times, these people were so fixated on the gifts that they were missing the giver. So fixated on the blessings of God, looking for the Messiah, that they were missing the blessor, God himself. And God showing them all that they needed to see, and yet, hardness of heart, desiring to see more. They weren't ready. Weren't ready to trust him. As we said from that last Sunday, listen, singing the words, hey, all my what? Hopes and dreams, my ambitions and plans, I surrender into your hands. God, I've heard that you're faithful. I've seen that you're faithful. But listen, show me more. I'm not going to put my trust in you until I see something else. Something bigger, something better. Show it to me again. And listen, here's the people. If we think this morning that his disciples were any more well off, think again, because remember, John's gospel, following the attesting miracles, John was writing to us to show us those miraculous signs that Jesus was doing specifically to prove that he was the Messiah. Often it's in the other gospels that we see some of the surrounding story that fills out what was going on in the midst of it. And so I'm going to flip over to Mark chapter 6, because listen, in the midst of this conversation Jesus was having with all the people who had eaten of the loaves and the fish, so too was he carrying on a conversation with his own disciples. And the question this morning is, did it go any better for them as it did the others? Remember, these are the ones who were staring at the 12 baskets full at the end of that miracle. It actually says this for us in Mark 6. I'm going to start in verse 45. It says, listen, Mark 6, verse 45, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of Bethsaida, while he himself was sending the crowd away. After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. It was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out. They all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. He got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished. Now listen to this, Mark 6, verse 52. They were utterly astonished, verse 52, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. It says this, when they crossed over, they came to the land and moored to the shore. Did you catch it? It wasn't just the crowds who had eaten the loaves and the fish and now were seeking Jesus to see more miracles. They knew about Jesus. They had seen enough of what Jesus could do. They themselves said, you're the Messiah, the one sent by God. And yet, when confronted with the fact that today they were called to believe in him and have faith, here was their response, no, I want to see more. Here's the disciples out on a journey, cared for, provided for, fed, housed, clothed. And yet, God says, feed the people. And they say, Jesus, send them away. What are we going to do? Now they get in a boat, and once again Jesus sends them off, and a storm comes. And as that storm comes, it says they were struggling at the oars. It says they were harassed by rowing. I love how the Amplified puts it, as it, as always, adds words to try and bring fullness to that original text that often in our English language we can't. It says this in Mark 6 and verse 47 and following. It says, listen, it says, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was by himself on the land, and having seen that they were troubled and tormented in their rowing, for the wind was against them, and the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking directly on the sea, and he acted as if he meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and raised a deep, throaty shriek of terror. Isn't that great? For they saw him and were agitated, troubled, filled with fear and dread. But immediately he talked with them and said, take heart. Now listen to this. I am. Take heart. I am. Stop being alarmed and afraid. And he went up into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were astonished exceedingly beyond measure, for they failed to consider or understand the teaching and the meaning of the miracle of the loaves. In fact, their hearts had grown callous and had become dull and had lost the power of understanding. Their hearts had grown hard, callous, and they had lost what? The power of understanding. They failed to see it. They failed to see the fact, though God was showing them in every area, in every arena, I am. And I love that, because those are the very words that when Moses said, listen, you've told me to go to Pharaoh, but who shall I say sent me? Exodus chapter 3, you tell them, I am sent you. I am who? I am he. Over all. They failed to see it, though God was showing it and shining it around every place, every corner. They knew it intellectually. They had seen it experientially. And yet every moment God gave them an opportunity to apply it practically, they didn't. They couldn't, because they had become callous. I love the fact that in that moment, it tells us that Jesus was walking as though he were going to pass them by. Seems kind of rude. Here I am struggling, rowing, harassed, despairing at the oars. And it's like he's going to walk on by, looking over, going, having trouble over there? Ha! It's not that hard. Or at least, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. And that's the reality. Here they were struggling, clawing, before the 5,000 fed, longing for food, for feed. Homes for shelter. The reality doesn't have to be that hard. Why? Because if Jesus is there, what? He has it. He has it. It's not up to what you can do. It's what he's prepared to do for you. And the reality was, if they only understood that God was all he ever said he would be, it didn't have to be as hard as they were making it out to be. All it took was what? welcoming Jesus into the boat. All it took to feed 5,000 was giving thanks to a faithful Father who is a great provider. All it took, here's a group of people saying, how do we work the works of God? Here's Jesus. It's so easy. Believe in the one whom he sent. To a group of people who were religious, relentlessly, in where they had to pray, when they had to pray, how they had to pray, where they had to wash, what water they used to wash, what they wore, how they wore it, when their head was covered, when it wasn't, how long was the beard, how long wasn't it, how many corners on the cloak. And Jesus says, listen, believe in the one whom he sent. It's like he's walking by going, really? It's not that hard. You're rowing, and I'm trying to tell you, I want you to walk with me on water. But you got to believe. You've got to believe. Eugene Peterson in The Message put it this way when he said, listen, translating in his paraphrase of the New Testament, he said, listen, none of this had yet penetrated their hearts. And what a great summary. God's revelation was all around them, and yet what? None of this had penetrated their hearts. This morning, as we look at these words, and we've just come off an incredible study through the book of Job, a man in the midst of many trials, saying, God, where are you? I can't see you. Wonder what the disciples were thinking in that stormy sea? It tells us exactly where God was. It tells us exactly what God was doing. Note we read, listen, he had gone onto the mountain to what? Pray. He left for the mountain to pray. When it was evening, he was in the middle of the sea. They were in the middle of the sea. He's alone on the land, seeing them straining at the oars. Then he came to them. Where's God? You may not see him, but listen, here he is, praying for you, watching you, and what? Near you, even though you didn't know it. Right there on the sea. That's where he is. Praying for you, watching you, and right near you in the midst of a storm. That's Jesus. And yet, the reality that God himself was that close failed to penetrate not only their hearts, the reality of their circumstances. That God was with them. And as Jesus stepped into that boat, and here's the question this morning. Are we at a place through life where we are so busy rowing, so panicked trying to feed the masses, and with our family of five now home from Mexico, it sometimes feels like we're feeding the masses, right? Sometimes the Costco bill is through the roof, even when you're buying in bulk. But listen, sometimes you're straining, feeding the masses, rowing, harassed, circumstances. So busy rowing in the midst of the storm that I'm neglecting the one who is the calm in the storm. Have you been there? So busy toiling. So busy wrestling that you're missing the one who is your rest in the midst of it. That's me. So often. Distracted by today's demands, that I miss the one who said, seek first me, and all this will be added. And all it takes, what are the works of God? Believe in the one whom he sent. Survive the storm, allow Jesus in the boat. But it starts when we let all the revelation of God not just stay on the surface, but penetrate our hearts to the point where we're prepared to what? Believe and walk. Sometimes we simply need this, to put down our paddle and welcome Jesus into the boat in the midst of the storm. But that takes faith. And faith takes believing what we know, and believing what we know takes an open heart to realize all that he's showed us. But if you're like the disciples, we'll miss it if we don't let it penetrate our heart. So easy to do. The disciples were the closest to Jesus and yet seemed no nearer to him in their hearts than the masses that were just looking for another miracle, just looking for another meal, just looking for another gift from the giver, but they wanted nothing to do with him. Jesus saw that they had seen all this, and yet it had not benefited them, for their heart was hard. Today, as we look at these verses this morning, it begs the question, because I'll tell you, we can walk through life and we can be nominal pew sitters, nominal Bible readers, nominal prayers and devotion readers, if that's all we do. Come to church, say the words, sing the songs. It's nothing if we don't actually believe what we read, if we don't practice the faith that we see, if we don't allow the things of God to penetrate my everyday life. This was the challenge for the disciples. And it's our challenge today, because we can call ourselves Christian and be those closest to him, and yet, notice them, fail to allow him to penetrate our hearts, fail to allow him to affect the way we live our lives, and go about our lives rowing that storm, trying, troubled, harassed by the waves, and yet crying out, God, where are you? And it seems like he's passing us by. And he will, if you don't welcome him into your boat. And he's going, it's not that hard. But it takes me to walk the walk. You can row all you want, but you're not going to make shore unless you allow me in. And I hope that this morning we can be encouraged in that. We all go through the storms of life. Every one of us. And I am sure we have all had those points and places where it seems like God is far away. And yet when we begin, and we've just come off that time in Job, seeing that though troubled, though hurt, though tested, though through a season of turmoil, God was there. God had a plan. God had a purpose. God was preparing him for something greater. And yet seeing the greater had to come from embracing God in the midst of what seemed the greatest of trials and difficulties. Today, are you prepared to put down that oar and welcome Jesus in? You know what's interesting? They were terrified when they saw him. I'm a firm believer that if they had truly believed all that they had seen of the Lord Jesus, they would never have been terrified, because the reality is they should have been expecting him. Do you know what I mean? They were terrified because they saw the unexpected. a man walking on water, and let's put it out, that'd be a little weird, right? The reality is, in the midst of the storm, there would have been an entirely different reaction if they had expected God to show up. We're at the end of ourselves. Where is he? We were hungry and he fed us. We were traveling and he housed us. We were going against powers and authorities greater than us, and God gave us the ability to cast out demons and heal the sick. He was with us. And now we're in a storm. We're beyond us. I wonder where he's going to show up now. This must be him coming now. Do you see what I'm saying? There would have been no terror if they had truly believed God was there. And here's half the battle. I'm rowing through life, and it hasn't sunk in yet that God is with me. And I've got troubled relationships, and I'm rowing and struggling and harassed, and yet terrified of the outcome when I should be this. God, I can't wait till I see what you're going to do here. I've got a loss of direction. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where God's leading. And troubling, to say the least. And yet what? Entirely different response when I begin to realize the reality that, guess what? He's coming. I don't know where. I don't know when he's going to appear. But I know this. He's watching me. He's praying for me. And guess what? He's near me, even though I might not see him today. But I'm anticipating him. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to be excited. I love how one translation puts it. It says, when they agreed to have him in the boat. It's almost like there was a discussion. I think it's Jesus. What do you think? Should we let it in? Do you know what I mean? But they weren't sure what it was. Here's Jesus. I am. And here's God today. I know your circumstances. I'm watching you. I'm holding you. I'm caring for you. I am near you, though you may not see it. Will you let me into the boat? Will you let the great I am on your journey? That's the question. And whether we think we have given our life to the Lord years past, whether we were 5 years old, 10 years old, 20 years old, 70 years old, doesn't matter. The question is the same. Has God been allowed on the journey? Is he in the boat? Or am I still struggling in the storm? Have I gotten to that point and place where I am tired of fighting the storm and I can put down that paddle and welcome Jesus in to calm the seas? Today, I can't tell you what your storm is because I know what mine are. And yet I know this, my struggle to walk in the reality of what I know. And he's shown me he's faithful. And yet it's a challenge. And yet God will keep allowing me to be tested because he wants me to not just know it here, but what? Walk it here. And so he doesn't do that by calming the seas initially. He does it by showing up in the midst of the next wave. And sometimes I think that's interesting. The fact that once again they had just come off of what would be another spiritual high, a great revelation, right? 12 baskets full, only to find themselves in the next spiritual crisis. Where does God have you? I trust that today, in whatever way, you will allow him in, that he might be your rest, that he might be your life, and that he might get you to shore. Because you can't on your own. And the intention never was for you to get there on your own. The intention never was to have them feed the 5,000. The intention was what? To see that through them, God could do all things. Because God is great. And God is enough for whatever God calls us to. And so today, perhaps you've heard about Jesus, read about Jesus, but never come to that point where you've welcomed Jesus and said, Lord, I want you in my boat. What a great analogy for our island life here, right? Listen, Lord, I want you in. If this is that time, for every one of us, he keeps showing and shining his light. But if we become hard-hearted to that point where it has not yet penetrated, now's the time. Now's the time. The storm is calling us to him. Just as much as to those of you who this morning, like myself, perhaps at a young age, earlier in life, whenever, have accepted Jesus in. And yet perhaps there's seasons, circumstances, times in my life where he's in, but yet I've become hardened to the reality that he's in control. And in all cases, today is the call that I give up my life, give up control to the one who has it all. We can keep straining in religious activity, trying to do the works of God, and we'll never make sure, never please God, never be satisfied in life until Jesus is there, until he is the center, until we believe, not just know about him, but believe in him in all things. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that once again this morning we can read your word and be challenged. And this morning I pray for each of those perhaps this morning struggling through life, perhaps for much having looked at Christianity perhaps as a religion, as something far off, as something as an attempt to be good, as something as an attempt to be more, and yet the reality is it's not about doing or being more, but believing more, resting our lives in your hands. And I pray that we can look back and see and celebrate all the many ways which you've shown yourself faithful, just as you have in your word, so you have in our lives if we open our eyes to truly see. And I pray that for each and every one of those, that they may come to that point and place where they see the truth, and that we might welcome you in the midst of the storm, to be our calm. And for those who say, just as the disciples, that we know, that we are related to, that we are followers of the Lord Jesus, so too how we can know you, read about you, pray to you, sing praises in your name, and yet walk out these doors and forget all about you. That you are our strength, you are our good, you are our provider, you are our help in every time of need. I just pray that this morning that you would once again renew that within our hearts, that you would break through, that you would penetrate those walls where we feel like we are self-sustained. And I just pray that this morning that we would be a church defined by that, not a group living religious lives for you, but having laid down lives and abiding in you. Thank you for the opportunity today to see, to learn, and to listen at your every prompting. Thank you that you are praying for us, that you are holding us, that you are watching us, and that you are very near us. And all we need to do is say thank you and welcome you in. In Jesus' name, amen.